when you're creating a new brand from scratch, the best thing you can do with a magazine is use it to create influence.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schramko.
James Schramko.
Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome to superfastbusiness.com. Today I have a special guest. He's actually like the superstar of the moment. Welcome, Nathan Chan.
Thank you so much for having me, James. And you're way too kind, man. I don't know about superstar, bro.
Everywhere I turn, I'm hearing Nathan Chan, Instagram. It's like a rhyming thing. And it's hard not to be sort of caught up in the whole movement, because you've done something that I reflected upon as being difficult to do. And that is, about a year ago, you interviewed me for your up-and-coming podcast. And 2 years before that, I interviewed a Instagram superstar who was telling me all about the Instagram secrets. And at the time, I thought, this is great. If I was a fitness professional or a chef or in an arty niche, then I could really use this. But I didn't realize how popular it could be for real businesses. And lately, you've been educating people about how it's helped you grow your own magazine and your super brand that you have, which we'll touch on in a minute. And it's working for other people, like dentists, like actual normal markets, where it's created a medium that's powerful beyond what most people would give it credit for.
Yeah, no, it is a super powerful platform, and I think, you know, it's still in its infancy, and people are just starting to catch up now. And we're really trying to drive that movement for entrepreneurs, startups, and business owners.
I think you are driving the movement, because this is my acid test. You know, I call this the GPS method, or the triangulation method. If I'm hearing about someone from three separate reference points, then there has to be something to it. And if those reference points are far apart, then that's even more interesting to me. So in 1 minute, I'm hearing about you from Dan Norris, who's in that startup, social media, you know, young and travel-y type mindset. On the other end of the spectrum, I've got stalwarts of the direct response marketing clan, the copywriters like Ed Dale, talking about it and being involved in your own product launches. And I'm thinking, well, there's two guys I know very well. They're kind of at other ends of the scale. And, you know, what is it that's so universally appealing? And then when I have a look at your videos, they're very educational. They're done with real intent to serve and to help. And the information actually works. We've even been experimenting with some of the things that you give away in your training. And just within days, we're seeing hundreds of followers and a great response to the community. So I think what you've done is you've made this real for the average person who's online, and you've made it relevant.
Well, thank you, James. You're far too kind. I'm just, really passionate about the platform. And, you know, we get asked every single day how we're doing, and we're kicking some serious goals there, not just in terms of, you know, followers, but also leads and sales. And, you know, in particular, we've generated 100,000 plus email subscribers from specifically Instagram in the past 12 months. And, you know, there's a lot of buyers in there. And, it's our number one source of customer acquisition right now.
Right. So you've got a six-figure email list.
Yep.
You are making sales. I want to touch on that a little bit later with the monetization model. And you have, I guess you've come to the attention of people in no small part because you get big name people onto your magazine and your business. So let's just sort of decompress this a bit. First off, currently your website's foundermag.com, and you run the brand Founder, I think is sort of the logo or the watermark that I'm seeing. I just want to say it's a great name, a fantastic name. Did you ever consider pitching in for founder.com?
Yeah, so there's a whole story around this, James. If we want to wind it back, you know, we just started off as a magazine. Now, I started the magazine March 5th, 2013. So that's the first day we launched. The first day we launched, we made $5. So we're going to turn three in 2 weeks. And when I started that magazine, it was, you know, through Ed Dale's product. So that's where the connection there is with Ed. And, you know, it's using his system called Magcast. And the magazine actually wasn't even called Founder. It was called something else. And I had to change the name 4 months in because I was sued for trademark infringement by one of the largest business magazines in the States. And what actually happened was that, you know, I had to change the name of the business, and I knew that if I removed the E, that and there was no, there wasn't even any founder magazine with the E out there, but I knew if we removed the E, it was kind of tech, it was kind of cool, and I would never, hopefully, touch wood, ever have any kind of trademark infringement problem ever again. And that's kind of how I came up with the name. And at the time, someone had just purchased founder.com, but they weren't doing anything with it. And I just went ahead, bought the trademark in the States, and just ran with the brand Founder. And then it gets funny because, you know, about a year later, once we'd actually built a brand on top of the name Founder, the person that owns founder.com actually, yeah, wanted to get in touch and talk, you know, all sorts of things, teaming up, partnerships, and exploring all sorts of other avenues. But that never ended up happening. But yeah, I eventually have to ask him for that domain. Where I'm still gonna, I might be catching up with him in a couple of months. He's visiting.
Nice. Well, good luck with that, because it's the first one I typed in when I was looking for you, and I think that we are a premium brand for you to have.
Mm.
You know, I recently asked Clay Collins about this with Lead Pages, because they have leadpages.net, and it's a fascinating thing to me as someone who's a passionate domainer in the past. I had a legacy of a couple of thousand domains, some really nice ones.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, people often want to buy domains from me because they can see that they can build something out of the domains that I've purchased. And these days, the first thing I do when I find an offer that converts, and that's really the core thing that I teach people to focus on first, find an offer that converts, is to think really hard about the design of your business. And branding and trademarks are so important, because I've seen people get the rug pulled them over and over again. And I've also been the recipient of cease and desist orders in the past, because I inadvertently registered a domain that also was the name of a cancer treatment trial product of some kind, you know, by complete accident.
And
I got a phone book from some lawyer about how I'm going to be sued and all the rest of it. And I take it seriously. And I think when you look at your brand, your logo, the short name, the ease of memory, it's definitely working in your favor. It's just a brilliant brand. And all of your pictures designed so well, and I was pretty shocked actually to find out how you were making some of those, which you reveal in your Instagram training. And my team have really taken to the tools and started producing some of those things as well. So I definitely want to throw a hat tip your way for some, you know, tips in how to create a better design, but also how shockingly simple and inexpensive it can be. In fact, it can be done for free if you're using the right apps.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, look, you know, some of pieces of our content on Instagram have been shared by like all sorts of celebrities, like LL Cool J and Puff Daddy, and you know, we have like people like DJ Khaled that follow us. So yeah, no, thank you for the kind words, man. Like, we're, you know, I think branding's an interesting thing. It's something I'm really passionate about, and part of, you know, our play is we want to have our design and our branding look kind of cool and funky and fresh. So if someone does stumble upon our work, whether it's our website, whether it's our magazine, whether it's even our podcast artwork or our Instagram page, it will invoke some sort of emotion that gets people excited, because nice design gets you excited, I think, and it's a pleasure to look at, and it you know, sparks curiosity, and you only have positive emotions that come from great design. So that's, you know, something that we're very passionate about and very deliberate with.
Yeah, I'm all for deliberate design. I've got a designer speaking at my live event because it's so important. You know, we're using Apple devices. They're designed not to be the most powerful, but they're easy to use and they look nice. You want to use them. So a huge tick in that box. I want to talk about marketing for a second. We've covered Instagram. That's been working out really, really well for you. Why did you think Instagram was going to be the brand for you?
Well, look, to be honest, James, I didn't. You know, I thought the exact same thing that you thought, you know, a couple of years ago when you did that interview. And I thought, you know, we've been on Instagram for about 14 months and we've built it from zero to, I think, close to 650,000 followers. It's like one of the fastest growing Instagram accounts, certainly like brand accounts in the world, or in Australia at least. And I think, you know, I was just looking for answers, dude. Like, you know, we had the magazine that was doing okay. I'd left my job. You know, I started the magazine while I was working my day job, and I was really looking for a channel that we could dominate. And I was just testing, you know, old school marketing. You just throw things at the wall and see what sticks. And I was bringing on an intern. And, you know, I had a few friends that were doing some really cool stuff in the health and well-being niche, similar kind of niche that you spoke of. You know, you think, you know, food or fitness, they're the kind of niches that Instagram really thrives on, or fashion. And I just, you know, had this Instagram account, and I took some advice of some friends that were doing some cool stuff. They were crushing it in the food-based niche and the health and well-being niche. And I saw our sales spike for the magazine. Overnight, you know, we made an extra couple hundred bucks. And then that just took me down this path of just battle testing and just mastering the platform and really working how we could yield it to not only get followers, but really use it to drive ridiculous amounts of traffic and opt-ins and sales. And yeah, so I just stumbled across it, James. It was not strategic at all. Even, you know, the website, you know, it's found as my first business. I'm just learning as we go. I didn't know the power of design. I didn't think that, you know, having a magazine could allow me to get in touch with people like Richard Branson or Seth Godin and really, you know, showcase those ambassadors everywhere you see our brand. I didn't know that would be powerful to build trust, but just worked it out, man.
Right. Well, you're preempting some of my next questions, actually. So your website, for starters, it's really good. It's definitely designed to capture emails. It's got a heavy emphasis on grabbing email addresses, and it's done in not too douchey a way, right? It's not smashing things into your face or, but you do have an exit grabber. You've got a splash type page that encourages people to opt in. And then you've got a never miss an episode type call to action. I think it's really well done. I certainly showed it to my website designer and said, I think this is best practice for a publisher. So, you know, it's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Let's talk about the making money part. One thing that sticks in my mind is when we spoke about a year ago, the magazine was hard work for you. It was not generating the kind of income numbers that you've been sort of known for lately. From memory, it was sort of not quite giving you the return for the amount of effort that you'd put in. And I was reflecting to you that I'd tried going down the magazine path, but I couldn't actually even find my magazine on the platform. But what you've just revealed is that it's allowed you to get great guests onto your magazine, and you've managed to monetize a different way. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah. So I think we spoke about just over a year and a half ago, and I hadn't left my day job yet. I was kind of scraping by. I was making a few thousand dollars a month. And, you know, we hadn't found Instagram. We hadn't really found a channel that we were really, I guess, just really crushing. Like we hadn't really, like we had, you know, we had featured Richard Branson. We were doing really good with the, you know, app store optimization type stuff. And, you know, we were coming up in search. But, yeah, we weren't really, you know, for most people, you know, I'd been working on the magazine for about, you know, 10 to 11 months at that time when we spoke. And we, you know, really, you know, for most people wouldn't stick with it. Most people would have maybe even given up. Majority have. You know, there's a lot of people that started a magazine and given up because they just didn't see the immediate results that may have been anticipated. But for me, you know, I had subscribers that were paying us, you know, every single month. And I just kept going with it and just kept shipping and just producing a magazine issue every single month. And then, you know, I remember I built it up and was just replacing my income and operating costs. And I left my job after about, I think it was 14, 15 months. So it was starting to get a little bit more momentum when me and you caught up. But one thing that was really, really fascinating that you shared with me was that you said, look, Nathan, like, you know, the magazine looks great, but I believe that you need to put that magazine behind like a membership platform. And you were so right, dude, because that's what we did. And, you know, we created a whole new membership site called Founders Club, and that's in beta, but that's doing really, really well. And we only launched it last month, but, you know, we bundled the magazine up and all these other service offerings into a membership site. And I can see, you know, that membership site growing very, very fast once we release it to the public, and it is doing quite well right now. So that was one thing you gave us that was, you know, gave me, and you were so right, man. Like, it was, I wish I had have been focusing on doing something there earlier. But, you know, for the most part, you know, we used Instagram to build up the magazine to do, I don't really like to talk around numbers too much, but, you know, we're generating over six figures recurring a year from the magazine. And then we started to get into the online education space. And we produce a lot of content on the blog, the social, and then also our podcast and the magazine. So I thought, you know, we're no better positioned than anybody else to start producing, I guess, courses and online education products. And, you know, this is something our audience was asking for. They're asking for more help, and it was just a natural inclination. And, you know, we're monetizing there. So we only really, to be honest, dude, have three products right now: Founders Club, which is a recurring membership, the magazine, and this Instagram course. Now, our biggest problem and struggle is we don't have enough product, and that's what we're going to change this year. I anticipate we'll have at least six more courses by the end of this year, and they will service all sorts of different needs that we've found our audience and community are looking for more help on. And these courses actually won't be taught by me. I might teach one more, but I want to make Founder an asset-based business. So I don't want to make it all about me. And yeah, that's the plan, man. And that's what I'm working on.
Yeah, I just want to reinforce that. It's like you were doing the Instagram thing and I've been doing the membership thing for a while. If you're not already, I'm sure you'll be making six figures a month recurring very soon because of that model. I know you're on the right track because you were doing what I would call making grange, which is you were plowing the fields, planting the vines, tending them, growing them up, maturing them, harvesting the grapes, putting them in a vat, and then bottling them and sitting on it. And then you've revealed this amazing product. It's very hard for people to just come and reproduce tomorrow. Mm. So you and I, we're really on the same page. The earlier iterations of my membership had about a dozen front-end products feeding that recurring membership hub in there, and eventually I just moved most of those products inside the hub, and I use a podcast as that marketing machine or the engine, and you're using the magazine. I would call that marketing rather than a product, because
yeah,
it's getting you the good guests, it's giving you a big reputation, it's increasing your conversions, but you can really monetize it with the education, and education's a multi-billion dollar market. So I'm just very blessed to be able to interview you right now before you blow up and become the next billionaire, you
know, oh, come
a few
on,
years
mate.
Down the track. The amount you're hustling, I have no doubt. Let's talk about
thanks, man.
This for a minute. What are the wrong questions that people keep asking you?
I guess I think a lot of people think creating a magazine's easy. You know, I get emailed every day now. They want to create a magazine. And I think it's so hard, and you don't create a magazine to make money. I that's one thing that I realized, James, is like, yeah, look, I could create if I wanted to right now, I could forget everything I was doing and just create the magazine every month and it'd be a lifestyle business. But I just couldn't be satisfied with that. And, you know, I think you can't, I think, you know, especially when you're creating a new brand from scratch, the best thing you can do with a magazine is use it to create influence. And that's essentially what I realized. I didn't know when I first started that the magazine would be such a powerful influence building tool. But yeah, that's what the biggest focus is for it now. And I think a lot of people just, you know, they ask me, you know, how do you build a successful magazine? And it is, you know, it was just from sheer circumstance that I think I persisted with it, James. Like, you know, for you, you wouldn't, if you spent, you know, 12 months of hustle, like, you know, really focusing on a magazine, you're only making a few thousand dollars every month, that just would not be worth your time, right? Like, it just wouldn't be worth your time. And for most, you know, majority of people, that wasn't worth their time. And I just somehow just kept persisting with it and just, you know, not wanting to let people down because they were paid subscribers. And I just kept going through it. And I kind of worked out the business model as I went on, but I didn't know what the business model would be. And if I still just kept producing the magazine right now, you know, we wouldn't be nowhere near doing as well as we are now. So I think, You know, what people need to understand is if you want to build a publication, whether it's a print or digital publication, and that's actually a physical or an actual magazine, not a website, but, you know, an actual magazine that you can flip through the pages, you have to realize that it's all about having a multifaceted platform. So, you know, have a membership site, like just like you have, you know, have a series of digital products, you know, focus on building your email database, you know, don't just rely on advertising. We haven't even touched advertising yet. You know, I need to hire like a biz dev sales guy to do that. But yeah, I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize, and they just kind of assume, you know, okay, look, I just don't think they know how hard I've been hustling. You know, I had nothing to lose. I was working in my day job, man, and I was working on the magazine. I didn't even know if it would be, you know, a multi-million dollar business or anything of the sort, or I didn't know where I could take it. But I just kept going. I just kept persisting, even though we weren't making hardly any money. And just most people can't do that. They won't do that. And they just weren't just not in that same situation as me. So it's very hard, dude. Very, very hard.
Yeah, I just want to actually echo that. And that might surprise some of my listeners who know the now me. But it's a lot of this comes down to where you are in the life cycle. And I think the really important part of this is that whatever you're working on right now and wherever you're putting the effort, it's most unlikely that's where you're going to get the result in the short term, at least, and maybe in the long term. I'll give you an example of that. If you think about when you're a kid and you go down to the playground, do you remember they had those outdoor playgrounds before they shut them down and filled them in with concrete so that no one could get sued? So there's basically like those round and round things with the bars that you sort of push around and around, but you put all your effort going one way, but it's coming back at you towards your back, you know, like you put all that effort out this sort of clockwise, but the thing's coming back at you, you know, from where you least expect it. So all that energy is expended and you expect maybe it's going to come from there, but it never does. You know, my phase that was like yours was when I was in my very early 20s. I was about to have my first kid. I needed to make income to support three people, and I went out and got a sales job. And I put so much effort into that role compared to the reward that I got. I made the company millions in sales, and I got a paltry percentage of that compared to the amount of effort I put into my business now and the reward that I get. I mean, it's off the Richter scale in terms of effective hourly rate, which is the key metric that I measure. But I've got things set up now. I've got things in motion. And, you know, where I was at in my cycle, doing the magazine seemed like a lot of work, but I already had the good bits in the business. I already had the podcast and I already had the membership. So I think what you've done is you've kept adjusting and performing until you've found the little win. And then as it's revealed itself, in this case, Instagram's blown up, and then you get demand for product, and you've found a way to monetize this flywheel of yours that you've built up. And the real benefit that you're building the whole time is having these superpower guests. So I'm sure I'd be doing the listener a disservice if I didn't ask, how do you get a Richard Branson on your magazine?
Yeah. So look, we actually wrote a blog post, which is like a 7,000 word, 8,000 word blog post that actually reveals our exact steps, everything we do to interview people, like all these rock star entrepreneurs or influential entrepreneurs that people see in our space. And if you go to foundermag, foundermag.com/get interviews, you can look at that blog post there. It's a very well received blog post. But for the most part, James, I think a big part of it is having a magazine. You know, I think that, you know, the first thing was getting Richard Branson. Once we got Richard Branson, that was the ultimate social proof that we could ever have for our business and our brand, having Richard Branson and getting future interviews. And then ever since that, we've just kind of kept building on that. And, you know, how did I get, you know, let's start from scratch. How did I get in touch with Richard Branson? I want to be very clear. I didn't speak to him. Like, it wasn't a podcast interview or anything like that. It was just a written Q&A interview, and it was facilitated by his team. So how did I do it? First of all, I had a magazine, and I think a magazine is just a tremendous way to build influence. A lot of people don't have a magazine. A lot of people have a blog. A lot of people have a podcast. A magazine is, it has more perceived value. I don't know why, James, but it just does. And you know, having that magazine was the first step in the door. The second piece of that puzzle was just getting on the phone. I think, you know, it's so underutilized, you know, with so much emails that people get. If you actually build relationships and call someone on the phone, it's just really worth its weight in gold. I don't do it enough. I probably should do it a lot more for pitching interviews. Now I'm pretty lazy. I still go on emails, but I think getting on the phone.
So you're a lazy hustler.
Sometimes now. Sometimes.
I'm not buying it, my friend.
Sometimes now. But yeah, look, I tracked back, you know, one of the best ways to find key contacts in terms of, you know, interviewing a Tim Ferriss or a Seth Godin or a Tony Robbins or Richard Branson is they all have PR companies that they pay, or they have a PR person, which is the gatekeeper, that their job is to get interviews. So you have to find that person. You have to do whatever you can. And we go in depth all the different ways you can find that person on, you know, either on LinkedIn or using, you know, emailhunter.co and all these different ways. And then what you want to do is you want to actually get on the phone with that person and just keep looking to find who that correct person is. So in our instance for Richard Branson, you know, we know that one of his books was published by Random House. So I just worked my way backwards and then, you know, got in touch with Random House's PR and then, you know, found his Richard Branson's head of PR and just called her up on the phone. She was based in London and just, you know, had, you know, 5 missed calls. You know, you're a sales guy, man. It's just like you just keep calling, dude. You know the power of the phone. So you just get on. Yeah.
Oh, I understand this. You know, this is, yeah. The phone was what we had before the internet. And I made, you know, from the time I was doing telephone timber broking and then telephone debt collections and then in sales in a couple of decades.
Yeah, so you're a sales.
That's why I like podcasts. I really prefer to talk for a living. And it's a great way that you can, you know, get to the point quickly. You can pick up tonality. You can, you know, you can decide if you're trusting someone by what they're saying. You can listen to their speech patterns. It's such a powerful thing. And a very similar one is to go to live events. I really am an ambassador for that. I regularly go to live events overseas and expand my network. You've mentioned some key points. Should we just do a quick recap and see where we're at?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
So first up, Nathan is like the shooting star sensation right now, even despite his lack of having it, you know, it all mapped out in advance in a perfectionist way, which is something I see a lot with people. They're trying to get all their ducks in a row before they proceed. You just start and you grind and hustle a little bit until you find an edge and you keep doing what's working. Nathan found a great brand. And he's fine-tuning it a bit with good domain purchases and trademarks, etc. He stepped on a hot plate like so many of us do in the beginning. So if you do find your offer that converts and you know you're in the market for a while, go and get it locked up. He does great marketing. He's looking at Instagram, making it popular in the circles that I circulate in. And I want to ask you about something else relating to that in a minute. But what you really had was the money-making combo of high credibility, a very valuable medium, which is a magazine. And I imagine there'd be some related effect of having a podcast or a book or an event. But having that show in a difficult-to-produce format has created credibility. And, of course, it gets monetized with both the subscription and, of course, spin-off products and or product. And I'd be interested to know, Nathan, what would happen if you created those 6 products and instead of selling them, if you gave them away to hundreds of thousands of people each, I wonder how many recurring memberships for Founders Club you'd sell if you did that, because that's where I ended up heading down that track. So that's an interesting one. You've given us a good formula for getting interviews. You've got a huge blog post about it, which people can go and look up, and we'll link to it in the show notes. Just want to ask you, what are you doing with your next sort of step? Where do you see it? Are you doing some Snapchatting? Are you thinking you might blow up YouTube or is there something around the corner that you're excited about?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, James. Yeah, look, would you like me to run you through like my plan for the next year, how I plan to scale?
Yes, let's talk about how Nathan Chan plans to scale in the next year. Where do you go when you're already kicking butt?
Yeah, well, look, you know, we've got this massive community. We know we need more products. So as soon as, you know, we've got this massive launch going on that you know about for our Instagram course, then after we do that, we're going to go to the whole list. You know, our list is closer to 200,000 now. and we're going to go to the whole list with Founders Club. And then we're going to come up with a, you know, a high converting funnel for Founders Club. So we want Founders Club to be an upsell or a downsell wherever you are throughout the sales sequence. Wherever you are, you know, wherever you are, you'll end up hearing about Founders Club. And I think one great way to be able to sell Founders Club will be over webinars and doing like $1 free trials. And these are things that I want to test and we'll see how we go. But I really like webinar funnels. One thing I want to do as well is, you know, for example, with Founders Club, we give away, you know, weekly action plans or weekly recipes. I want to give away those as actual lead magnets. And I know that, you know, having that webinar registration page as the thank you page, that will really allow us to get people to come onto webinars and eventually, you know, educate them about the product and maybe they might want to buy it. And, you know, webinars we've found convert really, really well. And I want to hire a sales guy to do a lot of these webinars. I don't want to be doing them. And then, yeah, just keep working on product and really use email automation and webinars and hiring more people to, I guess, create these products, setting them up and having that email marketing do a lot of the work for you. And then at every touch point, we have upsells and downsells. And, you know, yeah, by the time we get there, I think keep doing what we're doing as well, James, like with the Instagram, the podcast, all the other social stuff, the content stuff, the guest blog posts, and just keep interviewing influencers, getting these amazing stories. And that machine on the front end is working really well. We don't really need to do anything new there. So yeah, that's us in a nutshell, man.
It's going to work. I'm very excited for you. I'm a huge advocate of recurring memberships, and I think you're going to enjoy my podcast interview with Jared Robinson, because he is killing it with webinars in his niche. He's talking about it at my live event. But
oh, wow.
He's helping me set up some webinars at the moment for my own funnel. And I 100% agree with you. Best way to sell a recurring membership is as an upsell or a downsell or cross-sell. It should be the central hub to all your satellite things.
Mm.
And the best example is from the back of live events or any high-ticket product. It's always good to gift your best members a trial access, and a huge proportion of them will stick around.
Yeah, that's it, man. I think there's a lot of hard work ahead, but it's exciting times.
You know what? I think you're actually going to go through a transition. When we catch up in 5 years from now, I imagine you'll be dialing in on some of the things that have been super effective for you, and you will have delegated or switched off some of the things that no longer excite you or you may be less hungry for. I think you'll actually be doing particularly well, and I'm really excited for you for the next stage of your business. So, and I also just want to restate how much gratitude I have for you showing up today while you're mid-launch. It's a tremendous advantage for us to be able to have a listen to your ideas at this stage in your career. I'm glad to have spoken to you before. I'm glad some of those predictions panned out, and I'm backing you as a winner in the future. So Nathan Chan from Founder Mag, thank you for sharing with us.
Yeah, look, thank you so much for the kind words, James. It's an absolute honor to be here. I've been following your work for a long time, and you have a tremendous amount of clout and authority in this, you know, online marketing space. So, you know, it's amazing to hear, you know, those kind of kind words from someone of your caliber, bro. So thank you, man.
All right. Well, let's stay in touch, and maybe we'll do an update podcast, which is something I really like to do, is to document the journey in the future. We'll look out for that one, listeners.
Awesome. Yeah, dude, I'd happily come back anytime, man. Thank you so much.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.